Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Ashes to Ashes, your home for modern pop in all its forms, on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. We're the campus community radio station of Concordia University, and we're online worldwide at cjlo.com. I'm your host for these 60 Minutes of Bops, Alex Vijay Collins, and I'm very happy to have with me, in studio, Kylie, a.k.a. Public Appeal, who released her truly, truly amazing debut album, Hello, My Name is Public Appeal, out on Arbutus Records since last week. We're going to talk all about that and more, but first, let's play a track from the album. And since, Kylie, you are in studio now, what track do you want to hear first from the LP?
Let's hear On the Scene.
On the Scene. All right, perfect. Here is On the Scene, the opening track from the album by Public Appeal here on Ashes to Ashes. On the scene.
Pictures of me, yeah, I can barely see. I'm in the magazine, TMZ, paparazzi on me. Cameras flashing, boy, yeah, it's undeniable. I'm so famous, it's undeniable. I'm on the scene, I'm quite off scene. Yeah, just on the body, baby, fresh on the scene at 19. Get it on, yeah, just like it's, yeah, every other paying a lot. Yeah. My God, baby, you should just stop. Stop. The music industry, they need me on the floor. I make this electronic shit. Yeah, I'm the electronic bitch. You already knew about that bitch because I am on the scene. You know that if I'm talking to you, it's for some cocaine. I'm taking everything, I'm gonna need it, baby. I don't wanna be real anymore, I just wanna be on your screen. I'm taking everything with me, I need it, baby. I've gotta leave everybody and start my life on the scene. I'm on the scene, I'm high off scene. Yeah, just on the body, baby. Fresh on the scene at 19.
And that was On the Scene by Public Appeal off her debut LP entitled simply Hello, My Name is Public Appeal, out now on Arbutus Records. Very happy to have you, Kylie, in studio to talk all about the album.
Hi.
And I'm very glad we played On the Scene first, because that was the song I wanted to kick off the interview with. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in a way, you're a veteran almost of the music scene, or just clubs in general. I mean, On the Scene, the point of view is as a 19-year-old, which is already a few years ago.
Yeah, it's been 2 years now. I wrote that song when I was 19. I'm about to turn 22 now.
Well, so, happy birthday, first off.
Yeah. Is it in June? But, like, yeah, I'm about to turn 22, like, you know.
22 blues.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was also, like, when I wrote this song, like, I was like, I need to release it before I, like, turn 20. Then that didn't happen. But, like, whatever.
I'm curious how the experiences of being on the scene contributed, and pardon the lame pun there, but how did that contribute to writing this record?
I mean, like, what do you mean exactly by, like, on the scene? Like, do you mean, like, just, like, going out and stuff?
Well, exactly, because it is... It's a party record, yeah, to say the least.
For sure. I mean, everything is, like, there's definitely some songs that, like, I feel like explore, like, different sides, but I feel like it's still very, like, always from a party lens, if that makes sense. So, yeah, for sure, I see what you mean. But I guess for on, like, sorry, what was the question again?
How those parties, you know, how they contributed to you writing, and I guess if I can reframe it a bit too, I find writing dance music is much harder than writing introspective. You can have introspective dance mm-hmm. music, to be sure. But, you know, the sort of, I'm picturing like a Joni Mitchell sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I find that harder because to write dance music, you have to be in a mindset that you're not in at all. I'm presuming you and maybe your fellow collaborators did it like in the bedroom on a laptop, which is totally separate from how the song's going to play. So getting that mind state, I feel, is very difficult. How do you do that?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, honestly, I really see what you mean. I feel like when I wrote a lot of these songs, I was like going out like a lot. And it was because, like, you know, when you turn 18 and like you just like have the like ability to actually go anywhere you want as long as you have your ID.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just
don't
like,
forget that.
You kind of just start like doing it all the time and going out with, and everyone's doing it. It's all your friends and stuff. So it like gives you this like feeling. And I feel like that feeling of like excitement for the weekend and stuff, like excitement for like going out, like, you know, getting ready and like getting dressed up and stuff. Like it was kind of inspired by that. And I feel like it's also really inspired by like all the like dopamine you're getting from that, because it's such a exciting time. But like I feel like also when you're at these parties and stuff, there's like so many things that are going on with emotions too, because there's like certain people that can be there, you know. There's like there is a lot of emotional factors that come into it, in my opinion. So like that's where I also like try to like balance out both of those lenses a bit, if that makes sense.
So speaking of emotion, I once interviewed a local artist, Fireball Kids. Highly recommend you listen to his music. He's got a new album coming out.
I think I've seen him live before. Yes.
He once said something I found really insightful, which was that, you know, party music, pop music, in a way, it's almost melancholic because, you know, you're celebrating something in the moment, but you know it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking, when you were mentioning those emotions that can happen, some of it is, you know, I'm presuming when you cross people who don't want to really see, you know, you're trying to avoid, or that, or vice versa.
Or the opposite too, yeah.
Yeah.
Like seeing someone you might want to see or
mm-hmm.
want to,
and they don't want to.
Yeah.
How could you talk a bit more about that emotion in those songs and that idea, and if you feel the same way that pop music and party music in a way is just as sad as, you know, an introspective Joni Mitchell song, because it's holding on to, you're talking about something that can't last forever.
Yeah. Well, I definitely see it like that, but honestly for me, like when I was writing this, like I didn't, like there was certain songs like Jealous where there was that a bit, but I feel like there was a lot of the songs, it was like I was writing them because like it was after the parties and I would always talk about the parties with my friends and like whatever, just stuff like that for like an entire week until the next one, so that you were still like getting the like the good like feeling of it afterwards and like thinking about it and stuff. I don't know if that makes sense, in the sense like
it does. Yeah.
I feel like it did end, like logistically in reality, like it did end, but you know, then there would always be the next one, especially in the summer. Like, I don't know, a lot of the songs came from summer experiences, and a lot of them also just came from real experiences that were, like, you know, inspired about something, and then you exaggerate it a little bit, and yeah. But I don't know if that answered your question.
It does. No, it really did. You worry too much about answering my questions. You are, totally. But that is something I find interesting, too, again, comparing. I should stop bringing up Joni Mitchell. This is not her interview. This is a public appeals interview. But there's this idea that, you know, a classical singer, songwriter, or poet, or writer, or whatnot, you know, they're mining their life experience for their creative endeavors. I find that probably a bit harder when you go clubbing mm-hmm. to get that. Like, you're right. It's like, it's a minefield, yeah. Like a gold mine for material. But one, just, you know, the way a party goes, like, it's harder to remember. But two, it is sort of, I feel if you're people watching too much to get that experience, it takes away from you enjoying it. How do you reconcile those things? Or you just saw one, it's like, if I remember it the next day, then maybe I'll write about it.
Well, okay, I don't know if this is exactly answering your question again, but I will say that I feel like I don't think all parties are inspiring. I think it depends where you're going. I think it depends, like, what is happening, like, who is there, what, like, you know, sometimes, like, the most memorable parties are the most awful ones because, like, they're just terrible, whether it's because there's a bunch of fights going on. And that doesn't mean memorable specifically in a good way, but I feel like, once again, I don't know if I'm really answering your question, but I do feel like also, I guess, I think I heard someone say, I think it was, like, Addison Rae or something, that was, like, having taste is a privilege, and I feel like people who don't specifically have good taste in parties are not going to get super inspired by parties, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
100%. We're going to play some more music by you in a short moment. First, we're going to have a quick ad break. You're listening to Ashes to Ashes, your home for modern pop in all its forms on CJLO.
You're gonna have to tune into Sex in the 60, a weird play on Sex in the City, on Sundays at 1 p.m. hosted by Abraxia, to hear the weirdest, psychiest, craziest, wackiest show on the airwaves on CJLO. You're gonna hate it. No, you're gonna love it. No, you're gonna hate it. I don't know if you have to tune in to know how you're gonna feel about it. I don't know.
Art Matters, North America's largest student-run fine arts festival, is back for its 26th edition. This year's theme is Unstable Grounds, and over the next month, we'll be inviting artists and the Montreal community to consider how we construct foundations upon continually shifting landscapes. On Thursday, March 26th, from 6 to 9 p.m., join us at the VAV Gallery at 1395 René Levesque for The Risk of Color, curated by Marie Kedigian. This vernissage night features artwork that explores how color can be used as an intentional tool. Then, on Friday, March 27th, from 6 to 9 p.m., come to Produit Rien at 6909 Marconi for Cambia, curated by Alexia Paz Escobar. It will be a vernissage night featuring the work of five artists gathered in a meditation on hybridism, metamorphosis, and surreal body morphing. Music by Elliot Roby, and for more information, visit artmattersfestival.org.
Hi, I'm Chapel Roan, and you're listening to Ashes to Ashes on CJLO.
Exploded from the crying. My drug intake has been alarming. Your words, they're harder than a bulldozer. Your words, they never were so mean.
Call me to abuse, or maybe I'm just a loser.
You're listening to Ashes to Ashes, your home for modern pop in all its forms on CJLO. That was Public Appeal with the song Jealous off her debut album entitled Hello, My Name is Public Appeal, out now on Arbutus Records. Question I ask everybody who comes into the studio.
Yes.
What makes a great pop song?
Depends. I feel like what makes a great pop song sometimes is like when you yourself, you can be like the person who's doing the pop part and then you have a rap part too. Like, I feel like that's something I try to do in some of the songs, like on the scene and mm-hmm. French Touch too. Like, you know, give a little part where like you're doing kind of a talky stuff. Like, having a bit of like different delivery, having some really like catchy and like memorable hooks. I mean, obviously. But I also feel like when you're telling a story, kind of. I mean, I feel like with this album, like, I feel like there was more songs where, like, I was really trying to tell, like, a specific story, and it was, like, you know, I mean, at least in my head it makes sense, because, like, it just makes sense, but, yeah.
What is it that influenced you to, what is it that's your lodestar to be like, yeah, I need to add a rap to it as well? Because it works.
I think if it works, it works. You don't always have to, but like if it works and it makes sense, like sometimes, you know, when you start off the song in like more of a talking like vibe instead of singing, and then when you sing in the chorus, I feel like it can make the chorus like hit a lot more. Especially when it's leading into something, I feel like I really like doing the talking parts when it's like you're kind of introducing the story of whatever you're talking about. Like, kind of like in Pop Bitch, I guess the first verse, even though I do sing the chorus at the start, like the first verse is kind of like explaining like what the start of the story is. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like this my boyfriend's friend is calling me and he's telling me like I'm gonna get caught because I'm cheating on him, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah pretty much.
Do you have a North Star for you that is like, yeah, that's a perfect pop song? If I wrote that, I'd be very happy.
I don't know. I feel like for me, it's really like, sometimes I can record stuff and it can sound good, but like I make so much music, like genuinely, like for this album, I made like 60 something, like a lot of like 60 or 70 demos, like a lot. I mean, some of them are just really like random, like 1 minute demos, but yeah, a lot. And a lot of them had a lot of potential. I feel like it just, sometimes when you hear it, you kind of just know if it's like flowing super well and it makes sense. I mean, also sometimes it just depends, because when you try a different delivery in songs, sometimes I feel like it can really change it up and like it can make something so much better. Like something that is like mediocre at first, but when you completely change the delivery, it can be better, or it can also be worse. Like, I mean, I don't know. I had trouble with one of the songs on the album because like I had recorded it. There was a problem with the white noise on it. I had to re-record it, but every time the delivery just didn't feel exactly the same. It was like, that was like something, for example. But yeah, I feel like when you know, you kind of know.
What song was that?
That was on Pop Bitch. And I still, like, I love this song so much, but like, you know, like sometimes artists do just have a special place in their heart for like that one demo that was like kind of better, but like, you know, not actually better, but you know, yeah.
It's still, so we were just talking about off air, this idea of knowing when to let go and this idea of like, I can't get just every syllable to match the beat, and just the idea of, yeah, letting it be. So that for you was that song.
Yeah, I had to, because I was like, sometimes you have to remind yourself, like, remember how much you loved this when you first made it? Like, I always tell that to my friends when they're like, oh, like, should I still release this? It's been like a year. Like, I don't know. I feel like I've made better stuff. And you're like, no, like, you have to remember like that version of yourself that was so happy when you made this song. You're like, this is my best song ever. Well, maybe I wasn't thinking this was my best song ever when I made that specific song, for example. But yeah, I just realized I swore when I said the name of the song, but whatever. But
that's okay. We're allowed if it's the name of the song. Okay, that's a loophole.
Okay. Amazing. But yeah, so I don't know. What was he saying again? Wait. Yeah, I don't know, but whatever.
Kylie,
yeah.
You answered the question. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. Well, speaking of Pop Bitch, you've got a duality on it. You got Pop Bitch and Club Chick, which mm-hmm. I guess in a way, they sort of meld, but I sort of like the idea of taking them as two separate things, as two separate persona, and I might be wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel you identify with one side more than the other?
Okay, well, first thing I want to say just really quickly because I thought of this, but, like, I feel like I really write my songs in a way where it's, like, especially for this album specifically, now I'm, like, going a bit of a different direction, which I can talk to you about after, but, like, for this album, I kind of liked writing in, like, a kind of high school-y way. So, like, you know, even with the song, like, All the Boys and, like, also in Beautiful, I have a lyric that's like that. It's just, like, very, like, high school-y in a way, but, like, not in a tacky way, like, more just, like, you know, you're I don't know if you know what I mean. But
I do know what you mean. I could see you as, like, I'm going to use the word so I can get with pop bitch in high school who's like, yeah, you can't sit with me.
Yeah, kind of.
But in a fun way.
Yeah, in a fun way.
In a way that's like, I'm creative and I make good songs, so you have to forgive me a
bit. Yeah, exactly, a little bit, a little bit. But so, I don't know. I guess I don't know if I would really relate to, like, one specifically. Also, like, would I relate to them in all times? No, because I feel like they're both, like, kind of, like, characters that it's, like, that I feel when I'm in, like, specifically those two songs. I guess mostly Club Chick. Like, that's really, like, an aggressive song. This is a song that, well, I guess it has the whole, like, happy part, too. But I feel like it's a very aggressive song where it's, like, this is what I feel like when I'm entering the club and, like, I'm with my friends. And, like, you're just, like, yes, like, I'm here. You know? And, like, it's, like, I feel like when you enter somewhere with your friends and, like, you feel, like, that your presence is, like, making the room, like, feel important. Like, it's like, yeah, I don't know. that's so I guess I don't know if I relate to either, but
okay,
specifically, but I feel like they're both, like, written about a specific feeling. So I don't know, when I say, like, oh, I'm a club chick or I'm a pop, you know what, like,
they're characters. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So would you say then, outside, I mean, I feel like what we were discussing before, you'd still identify with those characters, but do you find the Kylie outside of public appeal is more, I don't want to say reserved, but not as demonstrative?
I would say yes. That's the thing. I feel like people often, like, even, like, not, like, I feel like sometimes when I meet people that, like, know me through my music but don't specifically know me, like, they have, like, an expectation that I'm kind of, like, a you-know-what. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I feel like I am a little more, like, like, I'm very, like, an overthinker in general, whether it comes to my music or, like, anything in general. So I do feel like that is a part of me, like, really, that, like, really, like, that, you know, kind of attitude that it's definitely a part of me, and it definitely comes out sometimes. And I feel like I'm, like, many things at once, if that makes sense, that are, like, on complete opposite ends.
Contain multitudes.
Like, yeah, but, like, on complete opposite ends, I feel like I can really be that, and it can be the complete opposite. It just really depends. Yeah.
Well, we're going to play another song before we get to the last couple of questions of the interview.
Okay.
I actually want to play French Touch because it relates to a question I'm going to ask. So here is French Touch by Public Appeal from the album. Hello,
yay.
My name is Public Appeal. Out now on Arbitus Records. You're listening to Ashes to Ashes on CJLO.
Pull out to the gate with the bottle of the Kylie. Yeah, I'm about to get rowdy. Pull out.
That was French Touch by Public Appeal off the record. Hello, my name is Public Appeal, sorry. Off Arbutus Records, which I learned is the actual name to say the label. I've been saying Arbutus for so many years. That's just a little mind blown for me, so, but that's a digression. I trust Malika is right. As a manager of an artist on the label. So I played French Touch because I wanted to ask you about that. At first, I thought it was, you know, like a playful nod to the electro club influences, as you mentioned, sort of more disco-ish influence. But then I learned while doing my due diligence, my research for the interview, mm-hmm. that you're originally from a more rural town in France.
Yes.
I don't mean that as an insult.
No, it's not an insult. It's just funny.
I feel like the way
it.
I said that. Is it fair to say, though, that the scene represented a side of life that when you were growing up there, you hadn't gotten a taste of? I don't know if it...
Wait, sorry, I didn't catch the start of that sentence.
Sorry. Yeah, so French Touch, like that scene, mm-hmm. for someone growing up young in rural France, was that like, oh, okay, that's my first taste of, like... I mean, I don't know if rural France is like rural Quebec, where you're going to have a lot of folk music and stuff, like...
I don't know. I feel like for me, like, also this album was inspired by kind of like Yell, like French artists that were kind of making like electro clash music, like 2007, like a lot of the Kitsune Maison stuff, kind of. And I remember when I lived in France, like I was young, so like some of that music, like I remember like Je veux te voir by Yell being like a song that people would sing at school. And so then like when I was writing that song, I guess it was kind of like at first, originally when I wrote that song, I actually literally, I might have it in my notes, but it was originally like I was saying like instead of you've got that French touch, I was saying I've got that French touch. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about like the chorus was like French pastries keep me alive like an IV in a hospital. Like it was talking about French pastries. That was what the song was about at first. And then I don't know, I guess like I started seeing someone and like it kind of like turned into like a more of like a cutesy like lovey song, I guess. And I kind of just associated the idea of like, oh, like get going away with someone and like leaving, let's go to France, like, you know, like somewhere where it's hot. I think I wrote this when it was the winter too. So like, not this winter, but like last winter. Mm-hmm. So it was like really, I was thinking like, oh, like trying to like, and I saw it as an escape kind of. And I just kind of like named every like city that, you know, when I lived in France that were like also near like Marseille, Nice, stuff like that. So it's like, I associate first the sound of the music to France, kind of like this specific sound, especially this song, because it just like sounds like a, it just feels French, I guess. And even though like a lot of it is like in a very American accent, but yeah, I guess I don't know if that really answered your question fully, but yeah.
I admit my I'm listening, of course, but I admit I'm also like, can you please release a remix of the song where you put the French pastries on IV back?
I recorded it.
You need to put that out because that's fun too. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the song, because I kept like in the first verse, which is also like kind of like a talking verse at first. I kept that like thing where I'm talking about like the which tiramisu is not a French pastry, but like, you know, like I was talking about tiramisu, creme brulee, all that. And then it goes into like, oh, you've got that French touch, you know. It's just like a little bit a start to like kind of like in like put you in the universe of like you're in France, you're on Paris Fashion Week, yay. Mm-hmm. Like everything is like French tiramisu, like even though it's not French, but like, you know, just like so yeah, pretty much.
Completely different subject. You've got a few things coming up in April, including the launch show for the record on April 4th. I want to talk more about that. And for those who haven't seen you perform live, what can they expect from the show?
I love to, like, when I do a show, like, I love to, like, really, like, get into that character of, like, the... Like, I guess the club chick, I like to be kind of, like, rude to the crowd sometimes. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, let's move it up. Like, you know? I remember, like, there's this specific, like, video, I think, or, like, recording or something of, like, Sophie, like, playing a DJ set. And she's like, is the floor sticky? Like, why are you guys not moving? Like, you know? And it's like that. I just feel like that's what I kind of try to embody when I do a performance. Like, if the crowd isn't moving enough, and even if they are moving, then like you should tell them to move more. And like, I don't know. I feel like it does kind of like work. Like,
I,
you know,
shame
being aggressive is, yeah, like on a, to, yeah, a crowd, not like physically, but you, yeah, know, just like verbally. Like, I feel like it does bring you places sometimes. But
I mean, I would agree. I feel shame is an underrated tool, mm-hmm, to be, exactly, used on people. So. And if you're paying anyway to go see,
exactly,
an artist you presumably
you're
like
for the shame,
yeah,
exactly.
You could use that line. I feel good, you're paying for the shame,
exactly.
You can dance or not. I should mention the show is at Barlesco Griff, and is featuring, I want to get everyone's name right and my eyesight is not good, so I'm gonna bring the phone closer, Nasty Gloss, Billy Bondage. Would you like to say the rest? I can't
pronounce. Sinela McIntosh.
Oh, Sinela, of course. Yes. Favorite on Ashes Ashes.
Yes. Yes. Take It or Leave It. Amazing song. Mm-hmm. But Billy Bondage, Monib, McIntosh, Sinela, and me. So, yeah.
The star of the show.
Get ready, guys. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you, Malika, for helping out with my poor eyesight looking at the phone. And otherwise, how do I put it? To end things on, what do you hope listeners get most out of this album when they listen to it?
I don't know. I hope this album can inspire you, like, in the same way that I've been inspired by artists when I've listened to albums that inspired me to make music. I hope it can make you dance in your room, have a great time. Like, my favorite thing to do ever when I'm alone in my room is dance. Even if the curtain's open, my neighbors can watch. Like, yes. So, if I want you, I want this album to make you feel like you can dance with the curtains open and everyone can watch you and have a great time, even if it's 3 a.m.
I like that very much. I probably won't do that because I'm too shy. I am one of those people you're going to have to be like, you need to move up. Thank you very much, Kylie. The project is Public Appeal. The album is Hello, My Name is Public Appeal, out now on Arbutus Records. I said it wrong again. the launch show for the album is April 4th. Follow Public Appeal. Handles, what should people follow?
At Public Appeal on Instagram, Public Appeal on Spotify, Public Appeal on SoundCloud, Public Appeal on YouTube, Public Appeal everywhere, yeah. I think.
And if you want to be so kind and support great local music, go to Bandcamp and buy the record.
Exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Before we
buy that record. Public_appeal on Instagram. Not Public Appeal, Public_appeal. But if you look up Public Appeal, you might find it too.
Before we go, we're going to play one last song from the record. What would you like to close the interview out with, Kylie?
Oh my gosh. Let's hear Beautiful, The Closer.
The Closer. Great choice. Here is Beautiful by Public Appeal right here on Ashes to Ashes on CGLO.
Make that girl sell. Cha-ching, bitch. All the girls want to taste of her filthy bitch life. And all the boys talk to her like she's new doing this. But she's not, she's been doing this. She's been doing this shit. She's like an animal in disguise because she acts like prey. She's got that thing that boys talk about in their diary. She's so beautiful. She's got that thing I want to know. Yeah, East Coast, West Coast got the blow from Amsterdam to Tokyo. She's so beautiful. She's got that thing I want to know. Tokyo, yeah.
Hey, this is Public Appeal, and you're listening to Ashes on CJLO.
CJLO presents The Big M Show, a series of hour-long theatrical specials featuring all new music from local singer-songwriter extraordinaire Marlena Moore. Over the course of 2026, come out to Theater VME for dazzling performances, each with their own unique theme, set design, and costumes. They're a fresh take on old-school entertainment and your chance to see your very own Broadway diva at a discount rate. The second Big M Show is coming up on March 29th at 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at mileendimprov.ca.
Do you love hip-hop and R&B?
Is your Monday
afternoon lacking groove? I'm DJ Samuel D. Roberts, and I got you covered. Listen to my show, Whip Appeal. I'll be playing hip-hop bangers, R&B slow jams, and everything in between from Canada and around the globe to groove up your Monday afternoon. Listen to Whip Appeal, Mondays at 3 p.m. CJLO 1690 AM.
Hey, this is Cecile Believe, and you're listening to Ashes to Ashes on CJLO.
Blue skies and great concrete, I love it, I love. Fresh snow and blazing heat, I love it, I love.
Thank you. just give me your ASL. Fuck a plan B, baby, it's no big deal. I'm already 10 weeks in maternity. Fuck a single mom, I'm not judgmental. In my sweatpants and some juicy hentai. Fuck a therapist, it's not mental. I need philosophy, this shit is existential. So I was about to go have a kid on my own, and then my doctor said, now Robin, who would be your dream donor? Well, Adam Driver always did kinda give me a boner. She like, yeah, wasn't he great? And don't mess with the zone. I like to go out, wear something nice, and push. This shit is existential. I like to go out, wear something nice, and push. This is existential. Fuck a app. Fuck a single mom. Shit is existential. Fuck a plan B, baby. Fuck a therapist. I've been on Raya while on IVF, PTSD from other tests. Hormonal rants on IG, scrolling my feed while breastfeeding. Spent too much on Etsy, expensive shit I don't need. Bossy, bad, and bougie, like push, push, hold it, breathe. I like to go out, wear something nice, and push. Shit is existential. I like to go out, wear something nice, and push. Existential. My body's a spaceship with the ovaries on hyperdrive. Got a whole universe inside that exists in between my thighs. Do I have the consistent will to persist and finish this ride? My baby maker's got 20 in the clip, ready to fire. Fuck a app. Fuck a single mom. Fuck a plan B, baby. Baby maker's makers. Fuck a therapist.
Last night I was crying. Did you hear? Was it all for nothing? Crystallize my tears. You have the strangest power over me. Just power.
That's Crystallize My Tears by Danny Earl Harle featuring OK Lou and MNEK. Really great track off of Danny Earl Harle's album Cerulean that came out last month. Before that, we had Robin with the title track from her upcoming album Sexistential, out this Friday, March 27th. Her first record in 8 years since 2017's Honey, which was also her first album in 8 years. So yeah, Robin's taking her time, but really looking forward to that LP. Before that was a track from another album coming out this Friday. It was Lucky by Fuckers, and that's from the album O, with an umlaut on it. So I don't know if you pronounce it as O, but either way. And before that was Billy Bondage from Montreal with Rock Rock. And all that followed my interview with Public Appeal, her really, really, really great debut album entitled Hello, My Name is Public Appeal is out now on Arbutus Records. I've also said that wrong again. I've learned that that's not how you say the record. Arbutus Records, anyway. And the launch show for the record is Saturday, April 4th. That's at Bar Lesco Griff. It features Nasty Gloss, Billy Bondage, Monib, and Make in Touch, and Sanaila. That's going to be a really good show. So, yeah, follow Public Appeal online, public_appeal, and listen to the LP. This has been the latest episode of Ashes to Ashes, your home for modern pop in all its forms on CJLO. Stick around 8 p.m. because it's Hitting All the Bases with Sam. Before we go, though, I'm going to play one last song. I'm going to end it with Public Appeal featuring Billy Bondage. This is Meet Me in the Back.
Some powder.